Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Join Ellery Queen as he uses his skills to solve every crime that comes his way. But can you solve the crime before him? Today's episode, the 1939 to 1948 series, The Adventures of Ellery Queen, created by Frederick Danny and Manfred Lee. This series was kind of an innovation back in the day. The series would present the evidence to the audience in the same manner they did to the character Ellery Queen and encouraged the listeners to solve the crime before him. They also had some of the actual audience members to see if they could solve the crime on the air. And as always, let me know what you think of the show through the comments, my email, social media, and as you know, all those links are in the description. It would be great if you enjoy this podcast and keep coming back to it. If you would follow, review, and rate. The more ratings I get, the more easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
Bromo Seltzer presents The Adventures of Ellery Queen. The makers of Bromo Seltzer bring you another thrilling adventure with Ellery Queen, the celebrated gentleman detective in person. Ellery Queen again gives you a chance to match wits with him as he relates a new story of a crime he alone unravels. And then, at the point where he was able to solve the mystery, he stops the play, gives you a chance to guess the criminal's name. In the studio tonight, we have as our guests Miss Anne Corio, glamorous screen and stage star, and Mr. Alfred D. McKelvey, prominent Eastern manufacturer. Miss Corio and Mr. McKelvey have accepted Ellery Queen's challenge to solve the mystery before the solution is revealed. And now, Ellery Queen, master detective and your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Ernest Chappell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's story concerns the adventures Nicky and I had when a stool pigeon gave us incriminating evidence against Musso the Moose. I call it The Adventure of the Singing Rat.
Inspector.
Heavy.
Look who's paying a visit to headquarters. The Singing Rat.
The Singing Rat? Ah, show him in, Vee. Always glad to see the rat.
Enter, Sir Rodent.
Yes, Sergeant.
Vee, shut that door and keep it shut.
Right.
What's your song today, Rat?
Listen, Inspector, I got something big, see? And nobody can hear me, huh?
The rat's a little shaky, Inspector. He's got something for us. On Musso.
On Musso? What is it, Rat? Sing.
Listen, Inspector Queen, I can tell you how to get the moose. But good, see?
Musso the Moose. Well, well.
But you got to give me protection, Inspector. Put me in stir until this blows over.
Come on, Rat. What do you got?
Tonight, see? 12 sharp. The moose will be in a parked car at the northwest corner of Broadway and Vesey Street. All you got to do, Inspector, is to hook what he's got in the upper right-hand pocket of his vest. I'll show that dirty...
Really, me around, huh? Put the Singing Rat in the cell. Book him on some charge. Make it look legitimate.
Suspicion of petty larceny, and that's no lie. Orders, Inspector?
Three men. Here at 11:30. Absolute secrecy. There mustn't be a leak. Maybe what's in that mobster's vest pocket is the evidence I've been looking for 5 years.
Why don't he show up, Moose? I don't like sitting in this parked car.
You be like me, Tagai. Big businessman. Soft, nice, easy, relaxed.
Yeah, Moose, yeah. But why do we gotta meet his nibs on street corners? We're wide open,
Tagai, Moose. You don't understand. That's the way you're a punk. and I'm a moose of the moose. He's important man. Sure, I can make him come up to the apartment like last week, but he's taking a chance. If somebody she sees him...
Hey, Moose. That black sedan. It's the cop.
Cop. Now keep your pants on, Cockeye.
You must have that car. Sit still.
Cockeye, no. Don't start nothing.
I got him called, the sergeant.
Flint, flash the light on him. All right, step out, Moose. You too, Mike. Reach for a rod and you'll be angel food before you hit the sidewalk. Come on.
Hello, sergeant. You was so about something. Sure we come out.
Good evening, Moose.
Oh, he's my old friend, Inspector Queen.
Neither of them's here, Inspector.
Inspect. Every time you pull in the Moose, you gotta let me go again. And you know getting the tired.
Hold your arm tight, Moose. Stand still and you won't be hurt. Vince, threw that submachine gun to his back so he won't get ambitious.
Arthur. Hey, do you nuts, Inspector? What's the idea?
All right, Beely, put your hand in the upper right pocket of his vest and take out whatever's in there.
My vest? You don't do that. I want my mouthpiece.
All right. Take your hand out of my vest. Let me go. Hey, nice, lovely.
There. Somebody sees a squeal. I find out who. He's a dead man. I kill him. I kill him.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery. We'll be back in just a moment to tell you more, but first, Ernest Chappell.
Friends, you like to save money, don't you? And you like fast relief from a common sick headache? Of course. But what's saving money got to do with that? Plenty, so listen closely. Right now at your drugstore, you can get the large 60-cent-sized bottle of Bromo-Seltzer for only 39 cents. Now, any way you figure it, that's a saving of 20% or more. And talk about quick, effective relief. But I'll let Mr. Howard B. Abel of Piper'sville, Pennsylvania, tell you about that. He writes,
whenever I get a common sick headache, I always take Bromo-Seltzer. Because I found out many years ago that there's just nothing better. Recently, I won my wife over to Bromo-Seltzer, too. One day, she had a common sick headache, and the preparation she usually took just didn't seem to help her. I persuaded her to let me fix her a Bromo-Seltzer. Well, she was delighted at how quickly she got relief. You can be sure there's always a bottle of Bromo-Seltzer in our home.
Millions of folks feel just as you do, Mr. Abel. Which reminds me, you old users of Bromo-Seltzer will want to get in on this wonderful special, too, but you must hurry. This offer is strictly limited, both as to time and quantity. So tomorrow, go to your druggist. Ask him for the regular, large, 60-cent-sized bottle of Bromo-Seltzer. But pay him only 39 cents. Better still, get two bottles. One for your desk or locker, one for home use. And now let's join Ellery Queen and Nicky Porter as they visit Inspector Queen at headquarters the morning after the capture of Musso the Racketeer.
What's up, Dad? Why the hurry call?
Oh, Ellery, I didn't want you. I wanted Nicky.
Oh, I see.
Me, Inspector? This is so sudden.
Would you act as my stenographer this morning, Nicky? My own man's homesick, and this is very confidential. Musso case.
Give me a pad and a couple of pencils, Inspector, and I'll be silent, Susan herself.
Dad, don't tell me you finally tied the moose up to the bankruptcy racket.
I sure have.
What on earth is the bankruptcy racket, Ellery?
A cute little dodge to defraud unlucky business people.
Oh?
A firm goes into bankruptcy. A crooked judge appoints some politician as receiver. A crooked appraiser undervalues the property magnificently. It goes for a song. And everyone involved in the racket, except the bankrupt and his creditors, makes a heap of crooked money.
We've known about this ring for a long time, Nicky. Judge Lampson appoints the receiver, Phil Boyne. Boyne's a slick politician. Little lisping jerk by the name of Paul Ernie. He's the crooked appraiser. And a woman lawyer, Fanny Wicker, handles the legal end. All on the Moose's payroll. But we've never been able to prove it.
I see.
And here comes Reedy now with a singing rap. Come in. The rat took the salt.
Right this way, brother rat.
Inspector, Musso's out on bail.
Keep your shirt on, rat. We couldn't keep him in a cell indefinitely at this early stage.
But he knows I was made at Sang, I tell you. He'll get me.
He'll get nobody. Really show those four good citizens into my office.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting for this a long, long time. In there, folks. Guard, Wicker.
Rat, get over there near the window and lie low.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Ah, Judge Lampson. Come in, Miss Wicker. Mr. Boyne? Mr. Ernie? Really, shut that door and see we're not interrupted.
Oh, yes, sir.
Inspector Green, What's the meaning of this high-handed procedure? Failing a member of the bench to your office like a felon.
I'll explain in a moment, Your Honor. Miss Whitaker, I believe we had the pleasure yesterday when you showed up in court with $50,000 for Musso's bail.
Come on, Inspector. What have you got? You didn't ask me to your office today to admire my new shade of lipstick. What a horsey woman.
Quiet, Nicky. No.
And Phil Boyne. Don't see you down here very often.
Well, I always say stay away from wine, women, and police headquarters if you want to keep out of trouble, eh, Inspector?
Miss Ernie. Man, is something wrong? You look sick. Any appraisal racket good, Ernie?
No complaint, Inspector. In fact, today is my busy day.
Maybe a lot busier before sundown, Mr. Ernie. Now, last night I arrested Musso the racketeer. In his vest pocket, I found a case full of cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
The Moose spokes a special brand. It bears monogram in gold leaf. Very swanky. The Moose head. One of the monogram cigarettes in the Moose's case. In fact, this one on my desk here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Judge, here. See it?
Yes, sir. That's it.
That one's a very special cigarette. Not like the others in Musso's case.
Looks like one of Musso's regular cigarettes to me.
Does it, Counselor? Ellery, hand me that cigarette.
Here you are, Dan. What is this, Mr. Barnum?
Greatest joy on earth, son. Now, this cigarette looks like an ordinary Musso cigarette, but it isn't. Its ends are plugged with little wads of tobacco, which are removable. See? In other words, it's hollow. Contains something. I wonder what it can be. Well.
Ellery, what's that piece of paper tightly rolled up?
A document of some sort, Nicky.
This document in Musso's handwriting is a payroll report.
What?
Quote, paid to Judge Eustace F. Lampson, $19,000 for appointing Phil Boyne, receiver in bankruptcy.
Well, I see here.
And it's got your signature, Judge Lampson, and receive that.
It's a forgery. An attempt to blacken my good name. I don't even know Musso.
Inspector, I seen the judge go up to the Moose's apartment only last week.
So that's why this notorious thief and police informer is in your office, Inspector.
It was the rat. He's the one who sang.
Inspector, let's talk this over. I've got some influence, you know.
Have you, Boyne? You're going to need it.
Let's cut the salami. What else have you got, Inspector Queen?
Your signature and receipt, Miss Wicker. Phil Boyne's and Ernie's.
Let's see that paper.
Oh, no, Judge. You'd like to get your hands on this little piece of paper, wouldn't you? Itchy fingers, Counselor? Mr. Ernie? Mr. Boyne? We've just removed temptation. Roll the paper up again. Tuck it back into this hollow cigarette. Like this. Put back the false tobacco plugs, and you've got the evidence all ready for the district attorney.
Well, I don't have to think.
I've been in politics a long time, Inspector, and I've seen a lot of wise cops come and go.
Prove it. Take us into court.
What do you intend to do, Inspector?
I want Musso. The DA will go easy on any one of you who gives evidence to break Musso's power and put him out of circulation. It's up to you four.
What's the matter with the singing rat?
He's backing away from the window.
Hey!
What's the matter?
Guy in that building across the street aiming a rifle at me. Through the window. He's going to shoot. Hey, Boyne, save me. Don't grab me, you rat. Ow!
Billy, that building opposite, man with a rifle.
Who got it?
Mr. Boyne, Sergeant. He's hurt.
Let me through here, please.
Phil Boyne.
I couldn't help it. I see the rifle. I duck. I grabbed Boyne so he couldn't start him right. It must have been the Moose. He's trying to kill me for square.
Murder attempt in my office.
Boyne. Boy, where were you hit?
I don't know. I call an ambulance. When you call a doctor, I'm shot. I'm telling you, I'm shot.
Lie still, Boyne. Where does it hurt?
Here's the bullet hole in his coat, Dad.
I tell you, bullet died.
It's hurt badly, Ellie.
Can't find the wound, Nicky. Not a sign of blood. Now, stop crying, Boyne. What are you crying for? Plain funk, Dad. Nervous shock.
Listen, Boyne. You're all right. You're not hurt. Not even a scratch.
Thank goodness.
But the bullet went right through his coat, Marshal.
Through his coat, Sergeant. Through this cigarette case in his breast pocket and smack up against this steel vest he's wearing.
Oh.
What?
A steel vest, son?
Yes, Dad, see? Here's the vest and here's the flattened slug. All he got was a chest bruise. Now get up, boy. Stop acting like a baby.
Ooh. I'm shaking like a custard pudding.
Look at the rat, Miss Porter. If he was milk, he'd be butter.
Give me a butt, somebody. Give me a butt, will you?
Here you are, Mr. Rat.
Me too, Queen. Thanks. I can use one.
I guess we all can, Counselor. Mr. Boyne?
No, I don't want any.
I'll have one of those cigarettes, Mr. Quinn.
Of course, Judge. Mr. Ernie?
Thanks.
Dan? Nikki?
But yes.
Thanks, son. Now let's get back to cases. Are you good citizens going to testify against Musso or aren't you? Miss Wicker.
I can't think straight now, Inspector. Give us a little time.
Time, Counselor. Sir, I can give you my answer now.
Sure, don't be hasty. Let's talk this over.
Okay. I'll give you people just 2 days to make up your mind. No longer. All right, Billy. Let him go.
This way out, Your Honor. Come on.
Billy, any report on that building across the street?
No luck, Inspector. By the time the boys got there, the guy that fired the rifle had taken a powder.
I'll never hear the end of this.
Dad, the singing rat.
He's gone.
Huh?
Billy, where'd the rat go?
I don't know, Inspector. I didn't see him.
I guess Brother Rat decides police headquarters isn't as safe as he's thinking.
Fool, now Moose will get him sure. Billy, send out an alarm. Bring the rat in.
Right, Inspector.
Dan, I'd advise you to be very careful about this evidence on your desk. Put this fake cigarette in a safe place.
Don't worry, son. I'm putting the Moose's monogram butt with that payroll report inside in the thickest vault at headquarters.
You better do it now, Dan. There are 5 desperate people. Judge Lamson, Attorney Wicker, Appraiser Ernie, Politician Boyne, and Musso himself, who'll stop at nothing to get their hands on it.
Practically live at police headquarters these days, Ellery. What's the occasion for this visit to the inspector's office?
Don't you remember, Nikki? The deadline Dad gave Musso's 4 distinguished co-workers is up this afternoon.
Well, why should that make you look droopy? This isn't your case. Anyway, even if it were, there's no mystery about it.
I know. Just the same, Nikki, there's something wrong. It's been bothering me for days. Can't put my finger on it.
You and your imagination. Here's the inspector's office.
Isn't Bailey there either? Well, find him, blast it. Oh, hurry, Nikki.
Anything new on the Moose case, Inspector?
Have you heard from Judge Lamson yet or the others, Dad?
Oh, they're here any minute now. They'd only agree to testify against that slippery mobster. Yes?
Annie Wicker's here, Inspector.
Who's his mouthpiece? Send the counselor in. Something tells me this is good news. Ah, Miss Wicker. Well, has that smart legal brain of yours looked over all the angles of the corner you people are in?
You win, Inspector.
Ah.
We'll cooperate with the DA, give what evidence we can against Musso, provided we're protected and the DA makes the deal.
That's very smart.
Look at the inspector's face, Ellery. He looks positively blissful.
There's something wrong, Nicky. Something wrong.
Oh, as you see that way, Miss Wicker. You're here as spokesman for the whole group?
All except Judge Lamson. His Honor is going to fight, Inspector.
That's the worst decision His Honor ever made. Yeah. So the Moose is going down for the count at last. Out on bail, is he? Not for long. Excuse me. Yes?
Inspector, Bailey.
Bailey, I've been combing the city for you. Where are you?
Central Park. Listen,
Central Park. Park. What are you doing in Central Park? Sharing nuts with the squirrel?
Now, listen, Inspector. It's about the Moose.
The Moose? What's about the Moose?
What, Nikki?
Ellery Queen, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, Nikki, nothing. It's just that I can't get it out of my mind.
Get what out of your mind? Oh, your imagination again. Meanwhile, that racketeer is lying here in the park murdered.
Yeah. Oh, Dad. Well?
Moose got it in the brain, Ellery. He rounded up his gang with a deaf, dumb, and blind.
What was Musso doing in Central Park, I wonder?
Obviously, Nikki, he had an appointment with his murderer. You see here? Body's lying behind a bush in this clump of trees, and no signs of its being dragged. They were arguing here. Now, oh, Sergeant, did you find the gun?
Yeah, Maestro. It's the Moose's own rod. One chamber's empty.
They struggled over Moose's gun, Ellery, and the other gentleman won.
He's no gentleman.
Dad, how long's the Moose been lying here dead?
Doc Patty says he was bumped off sometime today.
He didn't die right away, so Doc says there's no telling exactly how long he lingered.
Could have been murdered any time this morning or early afternoon. Drat it. Have to check alibis.
Dad, look at this.
What, son?
I just found it under the body. This hollow cigarette with the Moose monogram on it.
A hollow one? Like the one we got at headquarters?
Isn't there anything in it, Ellen?
No, it's empty. Dad, are you sure the cigarette with the document is safe at Center Street? This looks like the identical casing.
It can't be, Ellery. I locked the evidence up myself.
Just the same, Dad. Let's go back to headquarters and check up. Hurry, Dad.
Oh,
hurry.
I suppose Moose could have had
two. Didn't I tell you, Ellery? Here's the Moose's dummy cigarette, just as I left it, in the safe.
Let's see it, Dad. Dad, this isn't a dummy.
It's a real cigarette?
Tobacco, clear through.
My evidence. But I locked the dummy monogram cigarette in my safe 2 days ago, son.
You only thought it was the dummy, Dad. The switch must have been made before you locked this cigarette in your safe.
One of those crooks substituted a real Moose cigarette for the hollow one in your office 2 days ago, Inspector.
Exactly, Dad. After showing the document to those people in your office, you replaced it in the hollow dummy and put the dummy on your desk. Remember?
Oh, yes.
They all kept wandering around the office.
Yes. Would have taken only a second to make the switch of cigarettes. Say, I know when the switch was made. When the rat screamed that somebody was going to shoot him.
Right, Dad. And one of them came prepared to make the exchange.
But which one?
They all had cigarettes with them, Sergeant. The judge smoked incessantly. So did Miss Wicker, Mr. Ernie. We know Boyne had cigarettes. His cigarette case was pierced by that rifle bullet.
So any of them could have made the switch 2 days ago.
But how did the stolen one get under Musso's body in Central Park, Ellen?
The thief must have brought it with him today to his appointment with his victim.
Sure.
Well, I don't understand why he knocked the Moose off, Maestro.
It's not hard to reconstruct, Sergeant. The thief, in possession of the vital evidence, wanted money from Musso. Money in return for not handing that evidence back to the police.
Probably intended to milk them all dry, one after the other, and started with the racketeer.
Yeah, and then figured he'd destroy the evidence.
All right. So whoever stole that dummy cigarette in my office the other day is the killer of Musso.
But who?
Looks like a tough one to me, Ellery.
Tough? I don't think so, Dad.
Now, Ellery, don't tell me you know...
Yes, Nicky. I know who stole the dummy cigarette and murdered the Moose. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery, and I hope a solution as well. Nikki, will you be good enough to introduce our guest armchair detectives for this evening?
Well, Ellery, our first guest tonight is Ann Corio, glamorous stage and screen star who is currently making a record-breaking tour of vaudeville theaters from coast to coast. Miss Corio returns to Hollywood soon for her next film, Sarong Girl. Our second guest is Alfred D. McKelvey, prominent Eastern manufacturer and amateur radio detective. You know, Ellery, Mr. McKelvey's hobby is beating fictional radio detectives to the solution. So you'd better watch out. All right, Ellery?
Thank you, Nikki. Miss Corio, who is the criminal?
Well, it's rather difficult, but I think the rat stole the cigarette, that he has been living in terror of Musso, and he did it to bribe him.
Have you any clues?
No, except that when the gun was shot off, he seemed to know just what was happening, and he made quite sure that the bullet hit Byrne and not himself. And I think that was all set up so that he could switch the cigarette.
Thank you, Miss Corio. Mr. McKelvey, who do you think is the criminal?
Well, I've missed some easier guesses than this, so I'll probably miss this. But I guess that Phil Barn did it because of the fact that he showed up in the office opposite the sharpshooter with a vest on so that if there was any poor shooting, he was one fellow that wasn't going to be hit. He also happened to have a cigarette case in his pocket, so he could have been the man to make the exchange in the park. And being a politician, he probably knew his way out in the final analysis.
All right.
Well, thank you, Miss Corio, Mr. McKelvey. You'll know in just a moment how successful you were as armchair detectives. But first, here's Ernest Chappell, a very reasonable man indeed.
Certainly I'm reasonable, Ellery. For instance, when I tell you folks to get two bottles of bromo-seltzer, one to keep at home, the other where you work, I have two mighty good reasons. Firstly, you never know when a common sick headache will affect you, but you can depend on bromo-seltzer to help you feel better fast. For bromo-seltzer fights headache three ways. Acts on head, nerves, and stomach. You get effective relief. Quickly feel more like your old self again. Reason number two for buying two bottles. Right now, there's a wonderful special on bromo-seltzer. The regular large 60-cent size bottle for only 39 cents. Now, that means you save 20% or more. But remember, this offer is strictly limited, both to time and quantity. So act at once.
Was it Judge Lampson?
Or that mouthpiece and skirts, Fanny Wicker?
That listing little appraiser, Ernie.
No. The thief of the evidence, and therefore the killer of Musso, was Phil Boyne.
Boyne? That politician?
The one that got hit by the rifle bullet by mistake?
But how do you know it was Boyne, Ellery?
The clue in this case is psychological, but it's as incontestable as a fingerprint. Consider the situation in your office, Dad, 2 days ago. Musso, or one of his henchmen, in trying to kill the singing rat, fired a shot that struck Phil Boyne by mistake. How did Boyne react?
Well, like an old lady. Got his start.
Yes. Boyne was so shocked by his narrow escape from death, so unnerved, that he blubbered like a scared child. Yet when, at the height of excitement, I offered him a cigarette, he refused it.
That's right. He did.
The judge, the rat, Counselor Wicker, Ernie, even you, Dad, and Nicky, were all so shaken by the murderous attack that you gratefully accepted a cigarette to soothe your nerves. Yet Boyne, the man most immediately involved, the man who had actually been struck by the bullet, although unhurt, the man who threw a fit of hysterics, Boyne refused to smoke. Conclusion? Phil Boyne is not a smoking man. Phil Boyne doesn't smoke at all. If he were a smoker, even a light smoker, he would have grabbed at a cigarette in his condition.
But, Ellery, if Boyne isn't a smoker, why does he carry a cigarette case around with him? He did that day. You said yourself it was pierced by the rifle bullet.
Yes, Nicky. Why did Boyne, a non-smoker, carry a cigarette case? Since it wasn't because he smoked, then that case and the cigarettes in it must have served an entirely different purpose.
I see it now, son.
Yes, Dad. We know one of Musso's specially monogrammed cigarettes was substituted for the hollow one with the evidence in it. Therefore, the thief must have come to your office with a cigarette he'd stolen from Musso in advance. In other words, the thief came prepared to make a switch of cigarettes if the opportunity arose. And which of the four suspects did come prepared? Obviously, the man who carried a cigarette case but didn't smoke. Dad, if you'll nab Phil Boyne right away, there's a good chance he still has that document with its precious evidence on him. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to the mystery. I want to thank Miss Ann Corio and Mr. Alfred McKelvey for appearing as guest armchair detectives this evening. And we have for both Miss Corio and Mr. McKelvey a personal gift from Bromo Seltzer. Also, an autographed copy of my latest mystery anthology, Sporting Blood, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
Ellery, I'm a man who comes to the point.
Chappie, so am I. I know what that point you're going to make, and my answer is you'll have to wait a minute to hear what next week's story is about.
Well, it so happens that I can fill that minute with some mighty important information. You can take it straight from our educated Bromo Seltzer train, friends. The time to try Bromo Seltzer is right now. Listen.
Save money by now.
Yes, buy Bromo Seltzer now and you'll save money. 20% or more. For right now, your druggist is offering the large 60-cent size bottle of Bromo Seltzer for only 39 cents. This offer is good for a limited time only, so act at once. Remember, Bromo Seltzer fights headache three ways. These three ways:
quick relief from headache pain, fast help for jumpy nerves, quick help for upset stomach.
So don't be satisfied with anything that does less for you than Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or persistent headaches, see your doctor. For quick, effective relief from common sick headaches, get tried and true Bromo Seltzer. And be sure to ask for the large 60-cent size bottle, now selling at the special low price of only 39 cents. Sherlock Holmes, come on. What's on tap for next week?
Funny you should call me that, Chappie.
How so?
Well, because next week I'm going to tell about a case I had which will remind you of one that baffled the great Sherlock himself. It's about a man who goes into his house for an umbrella and disappears. I call my case The Adventure of Mr. Short and Mr. Long. Be sure to listen next Thursday at this same time.
And don't forget the other great Bromo Seltzer show friends, Vox Pop, the show that travels America. Next Monday, Vox Pop travels to Bowling Field in Washington. Vox Johnson and Warren Hull will interview men of our Army Air Force. Consult your local paper for the time and station. Adventures of Ellery Queen is by Charles Ball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Ellery Queen invites you to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unravels. Before revealing the solution, he stops the play, gives you a chance to solve the mystery. Our guest tonight, who will represent you home, armchair detective, is the talented Hollywood character actor, Mr. Charles LaTour. And now, here's Ellery Queen, master detective.
Thank you, Ernest Chappell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we'd like to tell you about a murder that occurred right under our very noses while we calmly enjoyed a ball game. I call it The Adventure of the Foul Tip.
Good evening, Mr. Ames.
Evening.
Say, it was a sharp move you just made, Mr. Ames. Here, let me open the door for you.
Hey, look who's here. Sit down. Evening, Mr. Ames. Check your hat.
Reckon I'll hold on to it, ma'am.
Welcome to the Society Club. Shall I call Mr. Vincent?
Oh, thank you. No, I'm looking for my wife.
Irene? Yes, sir. This way, sir. Irene just finished the dance number with her partner. There he is now. Reno.
I come right away, Edward.
That fancy Dan with bear grease on his hair, that's my wife's dancing partner?
Yes, Mr. Ames. Marino? Mr. Chicken. Excuse me, Mr. The Hollywood yes, Chicken. Enchanté.
Me too. Where's my wife, Mr. Marino?
We have just finished the dance. Oh, that Irene, she's not a woman, she's a spirit. It is like dancing with a perfume breeze.
Well, where'll I find my wife, Mr. Marino?
In her dressing room. Here, right through this door, Mr. Ray. Mr. Ames, you must see us dance together. It will enchant you.
Thank you. Some other time, fella.
But I go in with you. You shall see us dance.
Make tracks, Mr. Marino.
You send me away?
Yeah, I do.
Lover of horses. Imbecile amante di cavallo.
Come on, Bernie boy. So what does he say?
So Bernie says, if I didn't know you were Irene's press agent, I'd have swallowed this publicity on hook, line, and sinker. Just the same, he's running it with a two-column head in tomorrow's paper.
No.
How's that, honey?
Remind me to give you a kiss, Bernie.
You remind me to collect it.
Oh.
Well, the great Chick Ames. Well, hiya, Chick. How are you?
Evening, Mr. Bernie. Well, Irene, here's your old Chick in person.
You took your sweet time. And what do you mean, sneaking in on me this way?
Well, I didn't sneak in, honey. I just opened the door.
Oh, yeah? Chick Ames snoops again.
Well, I guess I'll be moseying on out the bar and get a few drinks, friend. Far be it from a press agent to horn in on husband and wife.
No, Bernie, stick around.
Okay.
You're looking mighty pretty, Irene. Thought I'd get to see more of you on this vacation of mine from pictures.
Oh, slice that baloney someplace else. You know why I sent for you, Chick. You're going to say yes or aren't you?
Now, honey, if you're aiming to start up that divorce talk again...
Aiming to start up again? I didn't finish the last time, you lop-eared horse's collar.
But, Irene, girl, you know I got a 5-year movie contract. Says I can't get into no scandal. The kids of America would be disappointed in their old Chick Ames.
Divorce is no scandal. Not when a girl's hitched to a stable opera in a 10-gallon hat.
Oh, now, honey, I'm real sorry you can't get to see more of me. Oh. You haven't got that society fella, Mr. Vincent, to open this New York nightclub for you. You could go right back on west with me.
Riding into the sunset on your saddle horn, I suppose. No, thank you. Do I get my divorce or don't I, you great, big, beautiful movie star, you?
Hey, Irene, take it easy.
Huh? Mr. Bernie, you stay off my range.
Okay.
Irene, why do you want a divorce so powerful bad?
Because I'm in love with a man, that's why.
Well, I'm a man. Huh? Who?
None of your rootin' tootin' business.
Kind of heard rumors about that, Irene. Supposed to be a man mighty close to you, ain't he? Don't give it no mind, but now, who is he?
Oh, stop that phony cowboy hero stuff. I know you from way back, Chickamauga Ames. Tied for life to a saddle. I want a divorce.
Yeah, well, you ain't getting it.
Hey, now, look, Chick, how about you sort of ambling off somewhere and cooling down, huh? And Irene,
you keep out of this, Bernie.
Now, look, you dopes, you're going to have the riot squad in here, both of you, in about
two... Now, you look here, Chick.
Oh, Mr. Vincent, come on in. Quick, for the love of Mike.
What's going on in here, Bernie?
Chick Ames. Listen, Mr. Vincent, you got to help me break this up. Irene's ready to open fire. She's going to start breaking
stuff
in a minute.
Yeah, sure, Bernie.
Well, 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 hello, Chick. Well, I'm delighted to see you in New York.
Huh? Oh, evening, Mr. Vincent. That's what I get. You see, I come east between pictures to see my own wife.
No wonder you didn't ride into Grand Central on a pack mule yodeling home on the range.
Irene, now that Chick's in town, I got a terrific plan. We'll get some great publicity.
Oh, go away.
You two ought to be seen together, oughtn't they, Mr. Vincent?
I should say they should, Bernie.
Now, look, here's the angle. We make up a party. There's a hot ball game at the field tomorrow.
Not
we'll all sit in one field box. We'll take along Marino, because he's Irene's dance partner. We'll get photographers, reporters. We'll make swell Sunday stuff. Right, Mr. Vincent?
Absolutely, Bernie. Chick, what do you say?
I don't know, Mr. Vincent. I'm aggravated.
He's aggravated. I'd like to know what he's got
Bernie,
to be aggravated
sake,
about.
Take Irene aside and talk to her, will you? I'll work on it.
Right. Look, Irene, come on over here.
I don't want to talk to you.
Now, come on. Chick, be a sport. Bernie's right, you know. An afternoon at the ballpark will do you both good.
Well, I don't know. I'm aggravated, Mr. Vincent.
But think of the fresh air, Chick. An outdoor man like you shouldn't be cooped up in some New York hot box. What you need is air and sun, the wind in your face.
Yeah, well... That is a fact, Mr. Vincent.
Then you'll do it?
Well, Mr. Vincent, I will.
Fine. Splendid. Ready. Chick says he'll go.
Oh, that's great. Great. Then we'll all meet outside the ticket booth at the field tomorrow afternoon before the game. I'll have the publicity all set up, Chick. And Irene's changed her mind, too. Haven't you, Irene, baby?
Yeah. I have changed my mind.
Comes my wife. My Irene's a mighty sweet gal.
Whose idea was this anyway? A jam like this? Manuel, here we are over here.
Bear Grease, fancy Dan. Oh, I'm so sorry to be late. Irene, may I kiss your hand? You are exquisite today.
Oh, cut it out, Manuel. Bernie, where's Benny?
Vincent will be here. Let us through, Rube.
But, Bernie, where are all the photographers,
huh? Don't worry, handsome. You'll get mugged inside. Hitchcock, I'll go first in the line.
Oh, that's right friendly of you, Mr. Bernie, but I reckon Chick Ames can afford a few baseball tickets.
Nothing doing. Let me at that window, Chick.
Bernie, it's a wonder you didn't get reserved seats in advance, making me stand on a line. I don't see you fighting to get to the ticket window first, Manuel.
When two Bulgarians argue over mere money, my beautiful, Manuel Merino looks on with scorn.
Yeah. Oh, there's Vincent inside the gate. Hey, Vinny!
Hey, Mr. Vincent, howdy!
Oh, hello, hello there. Here, Bernie, don't buy any tickets. I'm just for them. Let these people through the gate, will you, please? Here you are, tickets for box 15.
All right, this way, people. Boy, block a score card and pencils here.
Yes, sir, I'm in.
Now, I'm just seeing a ball game. No autographs. Did you hear what Mr. Rain said? No autographs. Now, one side. Come on, Merino, take a leg. Who wants
to get the publicity today? A cowboy or Merino and Irene, huh?
Oh, nuts. Mr. Vincent, which box was it again?
Box 13, Bernie. All right, go this way, Irene.
Box number 13. Hey, that's an unlucky number.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery.
When the number 13 crops up, something's bound to happen. And before anything else happens, here's a number by Paul LaValle and his orchestra.
To our story. Just a little later, the third base field boxes of a jammed ballpark. A typical New York Sunday crowd is watching fielding practice.
Box 14.
Here you are, Mr. Queen.
Thanks, Hutcher.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mr. Queen.
Nicky, sit here. Dad.
It was a good idea to come to the ball game today. Fine, Inspector, yeah. You look younger already.
Yes, man. Well, Vinny, yeah. You still think that punk team of yours is going to win today?
Say, I'm so sure, Inspector, with Carver pitching, I've got four bits says they don't score two earned runs off.
You're on, sucker.
Well, what's the score for? Well, what's the lineup?
Oh, see that kill? Well, bonk, Inspector. You see Max knock that ball to deep center field. They'll murder those bush leaguers of yours today.
Ah, they all look like Babe Ruth and Francis.
Come on, smile, chick. Put your arm around them, Irene.
Okay.
All right, go anyway. Look at those photographers.
Ellery, if the movie starts, the game's in the next box. That girl, Irene, that's his wife. Oh, there's Mr. Vincent. He's a millionaire society man who opened the nightclub for us.
Oh, who cares? Come on, play ball.
Sure, play ball.
Yeah, come on.
Ellery, they're the ones we saw outside the ticket booth, remember? They say Irene's been trying to get a divorce from Mr. King for a year, but he won't give her one. She's in love. Some people say with Mr. Vincent, though one commonest hint that it might be Bernie, a press agent.
Nicky, I'm in love, too, with a ball game this afternoon.
Practice is over.
Rat it, they're leaving the field. We missed the practice.
What is this? A ball game or a personal appearance by that He-Man of Hollywood?
Look at those fans fight to get his autograph.
Now, one at a time, please. Mr. Ames, do you want an autograph for these people?
Well, I'll take just six.
Mr. Ames says to take just six.
Now,
no more.
Please, don't. I don't think Mrs. Ames enjoys her husband's popularity very much, judging from the expression on her face.
Well, they should be seeing a ball game together. She's trying to... but what do I care? Play ball!
Beautiful woman, that Irene.
Brother, you ain't exaggerating.
All right, now that's wrong. Mr. Ames said six and he's given six. Now stand back, will you? Everybody
please,
back.
Please, get away from Mr. Ames' box, you.
Will
you?
Sorry. Ellie, take a look at that hombre coming toward box 13.
A cowboy with a guitar.
He's handsome.
Where? For the love, what baseball coming to anyway?
Arizona! Yeah! You old bow-legged coyote.
Hi, Arizona. I reckon you remember my wife here, Irene, huh?
I reckon I couldn't forget her, Chick. Howdy, ma'am.
Hello, Arizona. Long time no see, sir. Come and sit by me, Chick.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I've been traveling around Chick here, sort of keeping me cheerful, you know, me and my guitar.
How'd you find my box, Arizona?
Just followed the herd, Chick. Knowed you'd be where the autograph mavericks were sick.
Ha ha, you old fat man. Arizona, shake hands with these folks.
I remember. That's Arizona Yankee, ain't it? Chick pays Arizona a salary to play the guitar for him when he's feeling low. Well, he does.
I'm feeling powerful off my feet, Arizona. Sing me one of them sad songs of yours, will you?
Reckon I will.
He's going to sing here.
Oh, that's mighty pretty, Arizona. Yes, sir.
And the wind blows.
Mighty pretty.
Bernie, this is humiliating. I'm not going to sit in this box and get a fool up. Look, they're going to snap his picture.
Now, Irene, this is great stuff for the camp.
Now what, Nicky?
It's Chick Ames, Ellery. He fell out of his seat. He's sick or something.
Get back in the middle, will you? Chick, we're having to take some help.
Look at his face.
We better have a squint at this, baby. One shot, please.
Get out of the way.
In a bad way. We've got to bring him to the clubhouse. Call a doctor, somebody. Baby, turn these people away.
Come on, one side, remember. Next back.
All right, take him out.
Easy now. Ellery, do you suppose anything is really wrong?
You mean foul play, Nicky?
Well, considering the setup.
That is a possibility. Nicky, I came here to see a ball game, and by the babe, I'm seeing it.
Come on, you bums, play ball!
Back in the clubhouse.
My son. How's she gone? How's my four dead back? Oh, look at that scoreboard. Strike. Oh, my God.
Yes, he's got it, Sergeant, but it's only the fifth inning.
First to that bomb, Carberry can hit the deck.
But, Sergeant, what about Chick Ames?
Chick, Dad. Sing and suck the
bomb. Yes.
Oh, Lord. Billy was a natural death.
No, poison. Doctors just examined him. Chick was bumped. Now watch this guy, Carberry.
Murder. Ellery, what is
it? Oh, it's a conspiracy. Well, Sergeant, let's have the details.
Poison through the mouth, but Chick didn't eat or drink anything for an hour. And the doctor says it was quick poison, so the inspector figures he took the stuff right here in the field box. What did I tell you?
We'll check your accuracy, Sergeant.
Ellery, gee, what on earth?
He's climbing onto his chair.
Your attention, please. See this roll of bills? I'll give $5 for every autograph Chick Ames signed in box 13 there before this game. Five genuine American bucks, gentlemen. Come and get it.
Maestro, you gone, knock.
All right, now. One at a time. Don't crowd. Let's see it. Yes, there's one. Here's your five. Now, let's see that autograph, please. Mm-hmm. Here's your $5. All right, now. There you are.
What's going on here?
Let me see it.
Hey, listen, Mr. Queen, I'm sorry, but you can't start a riot.
Oh, the usher. Stand by, usher. Anybody else? There should be one other autograph. What are you doing,
sir? We find back Chick's autograph.
That's sunstroke, Inspector. Call the wagon.
Oh, shut up, Dealey.
Son, what's the idea?
Dealey says Ames was poisoned by mouth, hadn't eaten or drunk anything recently, and happened right here in box 13. So it's obvious Ames must have been poisoned by one of the pencils an autograph hound handed him to write with.
One of the pencils?
Yes, sir. Ames is notorious for his habit of sucking the point of a pencil. Lord knows it's been publicized enough. He sucked every pencil offered him before he scrawled his name.
The pencils had a poison tip.
And the killer's one of those five guys who just showed up to sell back the autograph. There, you with a scrawl case.
No, Sergeant, no. Let those men alone.
And if I was guilty, you don't suppose he'd be fool enough to show up to you. There were six. The sixth one stayed away.
The missing one's the killer, all right. Usher.
Yes, Inspector Queen?
What did that sixth felucca look like, remember?
Why, yes, sir. It was a kid, a little boy.
A what?
What a deduction, Mr. Queen. A boy.
That's that. Fly him back to the clubhouse if you want to question these people, son.
That's not that bad. The secret of Ames' death lies in the hands of that boy. We must find him. Now, Sergeant, here's what I want you to do.
Chick Ames autographed in box 13 just before the game will kindly proceed to the clubhouse with the autograph. He will receive a genuine Chick Ames six-shooter, a genuine Chick Ames cowboy suit, and a genuine signed photo of Chick Ames. Attention, please. If the boy who got Chick Ames...
Yes, sir, Mr. Queen.
Any sign of Sergeant Dealey and that kid yet, officer?
No, sir, Mr. Queen.
Officer?
Yes, sir, Mr. Queen.
What's the score?
Four to skunk. Favor the home team. Boy, this flopper is hot.
May he fry in his own lard. No sign of Dealey and the boy yet, Dad. Carry on.
His name? How do I know you didn't slip your husband a poison pencil with your own dainty white hands, huh? He stood in your way. You're in love with another man. Dick wouldn't divorce you.
I didn't poison him. I didn't. All I know is all of a sudden he fell off his seat in the boat.
Who's this man you're in love with?
That's none of anybody's business, including the police.
Is it Mr. Vincent here? He opened that nightclub for you, Irene. He's your angel, isn't he?
No. No, I mean, it's not me.
Inspector, this is rather high-handed, isn't it? I'll high-hand you later, Vincent. Well, then, Irene, is it this loud-mouthed press agent of yours, Bernie?
Hey, now, wait a minute. There's nothing between Irene and me except business.
No, 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 it's not me.
Is it Manuel Moreno, your dance partner?
No.
She's lying her head off, Ellery. It's one of the men she sees constantly. It must be.
Oh, Dan, here's Sergeant Dealey with the boys.
Come on. I want to see this man's ball game, too, you know. There's your criminal, maestro, 11 years old.
Come here, son. Don't be afraid. What's your name?
Who's afraid? My name's Montgomery, and no crap. Where's the genuine Chick Ames six-shooter, the announcer said? And the cowboy suit, and the signed picture of Chick Ames. I gotta get back to my seat.
We all do, Montgomery, but first let me have the autograph Chick Ames gave you.
Oh, I got it right here on my scorecard. But how do I know this ain't the old double cross? Hey, wait! What's the idea of grabbing my pencil?
Relax, Montgomery, I never grab. Is this the pencil you handed Ames to autograph the scorecard with?
So what? Give me what you promised.
Now, Montgomery, be nice, Montgomery.
Bad. Now, let's have it as pencil.
Very faint. Enough to establish it. Pencil that poisoned Ames, all right. Sonny, where'd you get this?
Let me out of here.
Oh, now, Montgomery, come on. You answer these gentlemen's questions, and they'll let you go right back to your baseball game.
But I don't know nothing, lady. I come down to the game all by myself, and I bought a ticket, and I just got inside the gate. When a man comes over to me and says, "Listen, kid, you know Chick Ames?" So I said, "Sure, everybody knows Chick Ames from the movies." So he says, "Well, look, Chick Ames is going to be at the game today in box 13. So you take this scorecard and pencil and get his autograph for me on account of I'm kind of bashful." Then the guy says, "I'll meet you right here after the game and give you $5 for the autograph." So I got it, that's all. But I'd rather have the Chick Ames gun and stuff any day. Give me it and let me go.
What'd this man look like, Montgomery?
Oh, he was wearing a big coat and a hat pulled down over his face and dark sunglasses or something.
Wouldn't you know? Disguise. Montgomery, how about his voice? Think you'd recognize it?
Well, he kept a handkerchief over his mouth while he was talking to me. And sometimes his voice was low and sometimes squeaky. Sounded awful funny. He must have been sick. Where's my Chick Ames gun and cowboy suit?
Mr. Bernie, take this boy's name and address and see that he gets what I promised him.
Sure thing, Mr. Queen. Hey, Arizona, what are you digging me in the ribs for?
I guess that's sort of old Arizona's job, Mr. Bernie. Now that old Chick's gone west for the last roundup. Come here, boy.
Say, you a real cowboy? I bet you're phony. Better take my address. My name's
Bernie. Imagine a little boy is an instrument of a murder. Whoever that man was, he's a monster.
Disguise. Face, figure, voice. Killer's gone by now. 100 miles away.
And even if he's still in the park, how are you going to pick out one guy in a crowd of 40,000?
Just a minute. Officer.
Yes, sir, Mr. Queen.
What's the score now?
Harry.
Tied up, Mr. Queen. Four in the face. Coming up.
Tied up and going tonight. Thanks. I've got to talk fast if I expect to see the end of this game.
Talk fast? Oh, you mean...
Of course, Nicky. Dad, get these people out of here. I'll tell you the name of the person who handed Montgomery that poison pencil to give to Chick Ames. I'll tell you who really murdered Ames. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Have you figured out an answer to it? Well, suppose you compare your solution with that of our guest for tonight. Nicky, introduce our guest to our home armchair detective.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is Mr. Charles Latour, the famous Hollywood character actor. Incidentally, Mr. Latour is really an old friend of us on the Ellery Queen program, because before he went to Hollywood, he was a member of the cast on many an Ellery Queen mystery.
Charlie, it's nice to see you again. How are you?
Fine, Ellery. Couldn't be better.
Oh, that's great. You know, Charlie, it seems every time I see a picture, you're in it. Passage to Marseille, Song of Bernadette.
And he's in Harry Eight now,
Ellery. Ah, yes, they keep him busy, all right. 51 pictures in the last 26 months.
Charlie, I hope you haven't forgotten your old training in solving Ellery Queen mysteries.
Ah, now, look here, Ellery. You solved the cases. I was the murderer, remember?
Okay. Well, let's try this one anyway. Charlie, who do you think gave Montgomery the poison pencil? That is, who really killed Ames?
Well, I really think Arizona did it. On the face, it would look like either the press man would do it or the proprietor not to want to lose their featured star. But I think Arizona was a bit jealous of the star boy star, and he wanted to break in pictures, and he joked all this out by himself. And this was his chance, and I think he did it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Latour. We'll give you the solution to tonight's mystery in just a minute.
And while you're trying to figure out your solution, here are Paul LaValle and the orchestra to keep you from concentrating.
Don't waste time. Now, here's how it works out. The killer of Ames, that is, the one in disguise who handed Montgomery the poison tint pencil, told the kid that Chick Ames would be at the ball game and that Ames would be sitting in box 13. Question. How did the killer know that Ames was going to be at the game, which means it was all planned before Ames got there? How did the killer know that Ames was going to sit in box 13?
That is clear. It means the murderer knew where the party would be sitting before they got to the park.
Well, who knew? Hurry.
Ames and Bernie had a friendly argument in front of the ticket windows as to who'd buy the tickets. That means Bernie didn't know in advance where they'd be sitting.
Sure. And Irene even cracked to Bernie that it was a wonder he hadn't got reserved seats in advance. That shows none of them know.
And yet, one of them did know, Sergeant. The one who gave Montgomery the pencil before the Ames party got to the park. The one who was inside the gate with the already purchased tickets when the others arrived. The only person in that park, or in the world, who knew in advance in which box Ames would be sitting.
Vincent. Vincent, who opened that nightclub for Irene.
Yes. It was Vincent who arrived early in disguise, bought the tickets for box 13, accosted Montgomery, gave him the poison pencil and scorecard, instructed the boy where he'd find Ames sitting later, then simply discarded the disguise and waited for the rest of the party to show up. Motive, to free Irene so we could marry her. Now, gangway.
Ellery!
Where are you running, son?
To see the end of the ball game.
Hi, Marshal! Wait for the cop!
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution. We wish to thank Mr. Latour for being our guest armchair detective this evening.
And thank you, Ellery Queen, for solving the mystery. And now, while Paul DeVal and the orchestra are hanging around with some unplayed notes staring them in the face, let's listen to some more music. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.